The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving Christ, an ever-flowing stream of prayers rise up to you as this world tilts and spins. When morning light meets the earth, may the new day bring renewed hope that you will hear us, that your mercy will meet us in our need, that your power will strengthen us to meet the needs of our neighbors. We pray for your grace this day. We pray to be your grace as we follow you, our brother and Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. The word of the Lord. We welcome as our chapel speaker today, Margaret Trost. She is the founder of the What If Foundation, a program that is dedicated to food, health, and education of the people of Haiti. She is the author of the book On That Day, Everybody Ate, and her visit to Northfield, which has been the past few days now, has been a really wonderful collaboration between Northfield area groups and churches, Carleton and St. Olaf. So it's been a collective welcoming of her and her great spirit. She still will be doing other things here in our community today. After chapel, there's a book signing, there's lunch in the Black Ballroom, and then two classes that are open to the public, one at 12:55 and one at 2, and both of those are in Viking Theater. You are welcome to be there.
This is such a beautiful place, and I feel so honored and happy to be here with you at St. Olaf. The last couple days have been so rich and full of people interested in what's happening in Haiti, interested in people who are hungry, who don't have anything to eat today, interested in the reasons why they're hungry, in the oppression that exists in this world that creates such hungry people, the situation that is so difficult to change. People interested in making change. And so I'm just so blessed to be with you and to share a little bit about my story and what brought me to Haiti and how right now in Port-au-Prince there are people creating a feast, how I got connected to this extraordinary community on the outskirts of Port-au-Prince in a neighborhood called Tiplascazo. Right now, as we're sitting here, there are 30 cooks who have been working for a few hours already, who are preparing a feast for the hungry, who are able to walk to the St. Clair's Rectory this afternoon at about 2 o'clock for a delicious meal of rice, of beans, of vegetables from the farmer's market filled with garlic and herbs and spices, delicious, with a gravy over the sides. It's hot, it's nourishing. It will provide for the children that will come this afternoon the only meal that they will eat today. Right now, their stomachs are grumbling as they're in school, but they know that in a few hours there will be a meal, that they'll go to bed with a full stomach, and that tomorrow there'll be another meal, because this food program at St. Clair's has grown from one meal a week to now 5 meals a week. So this neighborhood, they have 5 meals they can count on. And for that, they offer great thanks and gratitude and prayers to everybody who has participated in making this happen, to the giving and receiving that allows this to flow, to all of you who are connected by hearing the story today. You're connected to these people in solidarity. You're connected to those 30 cooks and the 1,000 to 1,500 children that will walk, some of them for more than a mile or two, to come to eat this meal. When I think of this meal, I think of love in action. I think about people sharing from their hearts whatever they can, and how this affects other people and it gives them hope, how it can give them just that little bit to keep going, how it can offer them just the knowing that there are people far away that hear their cry, that know they are hungry, that know that they are suffering and that they care, that they're not alone in their pain. They believe and they know that God is with them, but to know that there are human beings who they may never meet face to face that actually care about their situation, that are working to try to change it from different angles, from the different subjects that you're studying in school, the different ways that you approach injustice. There's so many different pieces to that puzzle, and each one of you will probably feel in your heart a call to a particular direction. How do you reach out in the world? How do you use your interests? What brings you joy? Where your gifts are, how do you use that to help change the world? How do you use that to bring you joy and also give joy to others? Where does that meet? And that's what I think is so exciting, when you can find that place where your heart is full and you're excited to be able to give and share your gifts. It fills you up, and on the other end, the receiver is blessed by that and so grateful that you have followed your heart and contributed in a way that meets them where they have their need, and that's very beautiful. For me, when I went to school and studied in college, I studied communications. I never imagined that I would be starting a nonprofit, that I would be leading it for years, that I would be here speaking to you. It was not something that I saw when I was a student at Penn State University or a student at the University of Wisconsin, where I studied journalism. Never imagined it, but sometimes, and really often, life is different than what you think it's going to be. And I just think it's so important to be open to the way life twists and turns and what happens. For me, my trip to Haiti came out of a very difficult period in my life, a period where I was struggling. I was praying for help. I was depressed. I was really crying out for help in my heart, because my life had shifted dramatically when my husband, who was 36 at the time, died suddenly. And I was just 34, and we had a little five-year-old. And we were entrepreneurs, and we were running our businesses out of our homes, and we were planning things for the future. I never imagined that I would be a widow at 34. But was out of that grief, out of my search, out of the way that I needed to dive into my faith in a way that I never thought I would need to try to find answers to questions I'd never thought I'd ask, that led me to Haiti. A spontaneous invitation where it just felt right to respond. And then in that first trip, I got connected to a community that expressed a vision for a food program. I didn't know what I was doing, but I spread the word, and some seed money arrived, and I mailed it to Haiti, and within 3 weeks, this food program started. It was a miracle. I didn't expect it. I didn't have any plans that anything would happen, but it just did. This community was ready. They wanted to feed their hungry children. They just didn't have the money. So when I sent that down, they had that food program up and going in 3 weeks, and it started with just one meal a week on Sundays. But over the years, over the last 10 years, it's grown to 2 days, and then 3 days, and then 4 days, and then 5 days. And the foundation that I created to help do the fundraising, to supply the resources that would then be given to the cooks that would go to the farmers market so the meals could be cooked, they grew slowly, very slowly, as one person told another, and it grew. The most important phrase that I've learned in Creole so far from my Haitian friends is petit petit n'arrivé. What that means is little by little we will arrive. It means that you value the small steps. It means that you value the contribution that just you can make. It means you value that idea that you come, that you think, well, maybe that idea isn't good enough. Maybe it's not big enough. Maybe it's impossible. Maybe nobody will believe me. Maybe nobody will help me. Maybe I won't be able to follow through. And so you toss that idea aside. Our Haitian friends would tell you, no, trust those ideas. Take a step towards that idea. Put one small step in front of that idea. Father Jerry, who's the priest who is the connection in Haiti for me, taught me that phrase. And he said, Margaret, in Haiti, we take very, very small steps. Sometimes those steps go backwards, but we keep taking them. It's important to keep taking the steps. Never lose hope, he said. Never give up, he said. One day, maybe not during my lifetime, but one day we'll get there. And he was talking to a world where people were not hungry. He was talking about a world where there was justice and love. He was talking about a world where all children have the opportunity to go to school, have the opportunity for health care, where everybody can contribute their gifts and not be blocked or oppressed by the structures in our world. He was talking about a transformed world where love and action and solidarity and compassion led the way. Petit n'arrivé, he told me, small steps. I believe that as each one of us takes small steps, as each one of us contributes, what we feel is in connection to us in our hearts, that cumulatively all of those small steps add up, that creates the change in our world. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be huge. We don't have to be wealthy. We don't have to have it all figured out. What we need to do is take that small step and then allow the miracles to unfold, allow those steps to accumulate. And that's where the power is, and I believe that's how we begin to change this world. Petit, petit, n'arrivé.
May the Lord Christ, who draws all people into the heart of God, draw you forward each day into his justice. Amen.